Good morning. I guess we'll start about a minute early. We'll just surprise anybody as part of our online audience. How's everybody doing today? Is the coffee kicked in? Gosh, y'all look like Baptists this morning. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Let's try that again. Good morning. There we go. Look, listen, look around. Give somebody a wave. Look across the room. Yeah, give somebody a howdy do. And by the way, don't look like I do when I play the bass. You know, everybody always accuses me of looking like a bluegrass picker. You know what they look like? They look like the Darlings. The boys is all keyed up. We don't need to look like that when we show up at church. We're just glad to be here. Amen. All right, if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. He's back there with you. He is your person. And everybody here, give Dr. John a wave. He's in the house. He looks after those that are monitoring with us, online. And I always tell somebody, it was funny because there's some people I've talked to that, they know that the thing's live, but for some odd reason, they think that it's live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I guess I just live up here, so it's interesting along the way. And people have like on Tuesdays and Wednesdays said hello to Dr. John. I'm thinking he's probably missed that now because he finished up when the service ended. But at any rate, we are so glad that you're here today to worship with us in spirit and in truth. We look forward to what God has to say to us through His Word. Today is a special day in a couple of different regards. This, and I'm going to go ahead and let you know, and I know Bonnie sent an email out yesterday, just as a reminder, we are actually doing our end gathering for Operation Christmas Child this Sunday as well as next Sunday. We do still have the fact that we are a regional drop-off. So I know there'll be a lot of folks that'll call. They'll miss today and they'll miss next Sunday and they'll say, can I still get my box in? Yes, for a little while, but just let me know. Get them in as quick as you can, and that way we can get them repackaged before we take them to the next stop along the way. But we will have a time here in just a little bit where we will have our in gathering for our church. Like I said, we got two different things going on. We've got the in gathering for the church, and then we have the regional drop off thing going on. So that's why I try to delineate between the two. So today is Central Baptist Church's in gathering where we bring our boxes forward. As you see, there are already some here. One of the things that we'll always do is ask. If you have your box, just as you bring it up here, and we'll have a time in our service to do that, which will be coming up here shortly, but I ask you to say a prayer for that box and say a prayer for that family and those children that will receive that box, that God will take that and He will use that as an instrument in His hand to reach out with the gospel message to those children and those families. Most of those kids have never seen a Christmas gift a day in their life. They're excited about that to start with, but what about giving them the best gift, the gift that lasts, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? And that's what we're truly, truly looking forward to. So with that, I know you've seen a few different things about Operation Christmas Child. You've heard a few of the stories along the way. And once again, today, I think it's Ekaterina's story of how she received one of the Operation Christmas Child boxes and in turn also had an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of her life. Would you look with me?
My name is Ekaterina Hazelden, and I'm from the former Soviet Union. I grew up in a poor and dysfunctional family. After my father went to prison, my mother left and she never came back. My sister and I, we were left to fend for ourselves. We kept wandering the streets until we were put into an orphanage. Some orphanages were nice, others, teachers were mentally and physically abusive. In the year of 2000, missionaries began to enter my orphanage. They told us how I can pray to God anytime and He would hear me. And one of those missionaries was Operation Christmas Child. I still remember the day I received my shoebox. It was a beautiful sunny day. As I began to open my shoebox, I discovered a coloring book and markers. I was 12 years old and I was just so excited about those items because I love to color. I began to hope for a family that would come and take me in as their own into their family. Years went by and no one seemed to be interested. I began to give up on God. Until one day, a social worker called me over and said, "Girls, I don't know how, but both of you are getting adopted, and you are going to America." In that moment, I knew with God, all things are possible. God not only blessed me with good Christian parents, but He also blessed me with loving husband, two children, and we enjoy packing shoeboxes as a family. Those simple shoeboxes bring so much hope and joy to the children around the world like me, in Jesus' mighty name.
Once again, you see a testimony of the power of a shoebox. God, when you take something that may seem like little or may seem so insignificant, how it can change the hearts and the lives of the people who will get them. That's why we do what we do. The gifts, the little things that you put in there are a tool to be able to get the gospel message to those who need it. And what a privilege and what a joy that is. So I know that some people here today, I know what it is. You don't like to come up in front of people. I get that. That's the reason why we've already got some boxes already up here. But nonetheless, we do want to take this moment. And I just simply ask that if you would, as you look to the Lord in a word of prayer, as we pray for the children that will be receiving all of these shoe boxes, if you have one, you're here today, I'm just going to ask if you would bring that forward as you place it at the altar. Take that moment to say that prayer for that child, for that family. I think Vicky's going to play a little bit there for you, and then I will close this time of in-gathering today in a word of prayer. Don't forget, we still have next week that you can do that. So as we look to the Lord in prayer, bring those boxes down and offer them to the Lord. Our Father, as we come to you right now, Lord, it is a great day to be in your house. Lord, it is a great day to just have the opportunity to worship you. And Lord, today, as we see these little shoe boxes, Lord, we see more than that. We see our obedience to you to be used as an instrument in your hand to reach others with the gospel message. And Lord, we don't even know who these boxes will go to, but you do. Lord, from even before the time that we ever purchased what we purchased and packed what we packed, you knew what child would get what box and in what country. So, Lord, you've gone on before us, and we know that you want a powerful message to go forward. Lord, I pray right now for these children and their families, Lord, their homes, their villages, wherever they may be, that first and foremost, they would hear the gospel message. Lord, that they would trust you, and in trusting you, you will open wonderful doors in their heart and in their lives, but Lord, especially for all of eternity. Watch over these little gifts as they are your tools. And Lord, we pray that you would truly bless those that are the givers, those that pack these boxes. May they get a special blessing from you simply because of their obedience. As Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me in hymn number 27, All Creatures of Our God and, God and King. Please stand as we sing.
All ye people, God rules over every nation, reigning.
Donna this morning. She's not feeling well today, so please be lifting her up. Thank you, Vicky, for playing for us today. We are now going to 581. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Particular hymn, get people cranked up. That's the best way to say it. How many, does that crank y'all up a little bit? How many of you have watched people just change just singing that song? I mean, you see somebody come in at church on Sunday morning, maybe they were downtrodden or whatever, and boy, I'll tell you one thing, when it comes down to singing that one, they get her cranked up. That's been something I've always enjoyed and loved, and watching how that works with people. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at the scripture, but today we recognize Veterans Day. It wasn't too many months ago that we took the opportunity to recognize Memorial Day. Now, I've always said this, Memorial Day is about those who have served our country that paid the ultimate and the supreme sacrifice. They gave up their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. They were the ones that stood in the conflict so that we may not. They are the ones that went overseas so those battles didn't have to be fought in our own backyards. But today, as we observe Veterans Day, we recognize those that not only went to conflict and made it back, but we recognize those who gave a segment of their life to serve our country. To me, I believe that is critical. I cannot say enough how the freedoms that we enjoy are free to us, but that doesn't mean that they were not bought with a price. It doesn't mean that the shed blood of others is not the reason we stand here today, because it is. We stand here with freedom. Now, I believe that the Lord has blessed me in opportunities through mission work to be able to see what it's like not to have those opportunities and freedoms. I've shared with you that I have preached before where there are places that my Christian brothers were lookouts to make sure that the CDR didn't rush in on us and take me to jail. And I can still remember their words of saying, hey, look, by the way, if we come and whisk you away really, really quickly, just go. Somebody else will close in prayer or what have you. Just go, go, go. I'm like, okay. And they're like, you're not supposed to be doing this. Does that bother you? And I said, no, it doesn't bother me. I said, you know, I'm in the Lord's hands. He is the one who is the watcher. He is the protector. And I've seen him do that in so many ways. I believe that he does that in the United States of America and with our country simply because we have been, at least in the past, one nation under God. I trust and pray that we will stop the slide in our country, and that slide being away from our Father. But today, it's not about that. It's about recognizing those who were willing to leave home and family, those that were willing to endure many, many things, those who were willing at a moment's notice to step in and to fill that gap, those that were willing to say, I will go fight for those freedoms over there so that we can maintain the freedoms that we have here. And I always like to make sure, I call these guys and gals, I got to be equal there, they're our heroes. For me, you are a hero. And I'm not just saying that because I'm standing before the church. I'm not just saying that simply because this is the day to say that. I believe that every day of my life. I have people that I know that I was close to who not only paid the ultimate sacrifice, but those who were willing to stand in the gap that we might have the opportunity to enjoy the freedoms today. I'm not worried about somebody having to come whisk me away today because I'm breaking the law by preaching the gospel message. And we owe that to the American soldier of all the branches. And one of the things I like to do is find out and recognize you today, not only before our congregation, but before all those who may be watching along the way. I know sometimes people don't like this. Soldiers, you guys are like preachers. You're a little weird. You don't like attention for what you do. But it sure is nice when somebody pauses to say thank you. And that's what we like to do here in the family known as Central Baptist Church. So here's what I want to do. If you have served, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to join me down front for just a moment. If you have served in any branch of the military service, and it doesn't matter if you're a member of Central Baptist Church or you just happen to be visiting today, whatever the case may be, you come down and join me down front. Would you do that now? Come on forward. That we don't know. There's parts of the story we don't know. So, you know, I want these guys to just take a moment, if they would, to let us know who they are. It's not a test. There won't be a test following this or anything. But if you'll just let us know who you are, what branch of military service that you served in, if you can remember, if you don't have to take your shoes off, if you can remember the years that you served, and if you had any special deployments along the way. Some of you guys may have served during conflict. If you would, just let us know that. Now, let me check this. Is this thing on? Check. Is it good? Okay. All right. Because I'm gonna hand it down here, and I'm going to start with Bill. I just gave the secret away. I gave Bill's name away. But, Bill, if you tell us a little bit about you.
That's good. I probably can't remember. My name is Bill Eatman. I served in the U.S. Air Force between 1954 and 1958. Most of my service was with the National Security Service in Alaska.
Kirk Gross, I think that's my name.
You sure?
It is today.
Okay. Went in 1980, spent 23 years, made 6 deployments, United States Army. Went from the Gulf War, Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan, so.
I'm Don Anderson. I probably served in the hardest group that's up here. That was the United States Coast Guard. And I was in there in 1968 through 72, and spent most of my tenure on a ship out of Norfolk, Virginia. And I spent some time in Elizabeth City Air Base.
It's Roger Howerton. I was in the U.S. Army. I served there in 1953 to 1956. I was in the Korean conflict over there, and I missed having to go by 4 weeks in my basic training. that we were in our 12th week of basic of 16 weeks. They signed the ceasefire in Korea. So I spent the rest of my time here in the States.
I'm Bill Gray, and I was in the U.S. Army, both enlisted and as an officer, 82nd Airborne Division, and I vacationed a short time in Southeast Asia.
I'm Steve Kelly. I was in the Navy from 1977 to 1998, deployed on ships to various parts of the world, and that's probably enough about that. But I will say that, Don, when I was in Cuba training on one of my ships, a Coast Guard ship pulled in, and we had to give them a lot of stuff because they didn't have enough stuff. So.
I'm Pete Bullins from Madison. Okay, I spent 2 years, and I spent most of my time over in Korea, two weeks before they signed the treaty. So I wound up being a sergeant over there and cooking and everything and taking care of that. Okay, thank you.
My name is Carl Young. I served in the Army Reserve from 1959 to 64. It was peacetime, but I enjoyed it. I was young and I could roll. I really enjoyed the times. It was a break for me. In the summertime, we'd have to, in the reserves, you'd have to go 2 weeks summer camp. And that'd give me a vacation from the work, too.
Guys, there may be a few tidbits that you learned about some of these guys up here. And as always, we like to just give a small token of our appreciation to each one of these guys. And this is on behalf of all of us, the Central Baptist Church, just as a little way to say thank you for what you do. To say we really appreciate these guys because they are heroes. And I am so glad that I live in a free country. And I am so glad for guys that are standing behind me, and I look at it like this. They're standing behind me now, but they've always stood behind me, and they will continue to stand behind me because they are the American soldier. So just as a little way to say thanks, first of all.
Thank you, buddy.
And this has Coast Guard on it, too. I just want you to know that. Appreciate you, man. Bill, thank you so much, man. And folks, one more time, thank you for giving them the honor that they deserve. Guys, I appreciate them so much. And although it is a small token and a small way to say thank you, we want to make sure that we don't forget that. And I say that, let's make sure that we don't just do that once a year, but that we show our appreciation to these men as well as women that you come in contact with to let them know, you know what? I am thankful for what you do because I am free today. Simply because you were willing to stand in the gap for me. Today we're going to be looking at some passages that aren't unfamiliar to you. They're going to come out of the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we consider the qualities of a person who is a soldier. It's very interesting that when you talk to somebody, particularly, I remember as I was growing up that there were many of those that I went to high school with that went on to serve in our armed forces. And, you know, I love to be able to say thank you to them every day. But I remember what it was like as they were preparing to do that. I can remember all of the mamas who affectionately said, "You don't want to do this." Yeah, and of course, why is it that mama would say, "You don't want to do this"? Was they afraid you're going to get hurt, you know? They realize that this is the real deal. Mama realizes that when you sign up, this is one of those circumstances and one of those situations where your phone could ring, you could be deployed, and you could be going away for months, even years at a time to protect and defend this particular country. It often means that you could find yourself in a conflict. It often means that you can find yourself in harm's way. I know one of my really good friends actually did 6 tours during the war in Afghanistan and various and sundrious other places because God called him to be a soldier. Now, that might sound a little weird to some of you, but to some of these men who stood up here today, they can understand what I mean when I say that. You know, sometimes God calls somebody for a temporary assignment, you know, whether it's 3, 4, or 6 years. I think now it might be 2, 4, 6. And for some, it's a temporary assignment. God has put you in a place for such a time as this. One of the things for me that I can always remember was that God called me to be a police officer for such a time as this, for a certain period of time to learn certain things that he was going to teach me to bring me to where I am here today. I believe the same thing holds true with the American soldier. Some he has called to do a career. They made a career out of the military service in their life. Not that they wanted to go, but that they were willing to go. I don't know any of them who were chomping at the bit saying, we need to have another war so I can go be active, but yet they were ready. They were ready to stand in that gap. They were ready to go forward. Now, as we get to our scripture today, it's one of those scriptures that we see oftentimes. Timothy was one of those guys who made a comparison. He drew parallels, particularly between a couple of things. One of those was a warrior and the other was an athlete. But as we look at our scripture text today, and once again, that is going to be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading with verse 3. And just going to look at a handful of verses today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that your word would spring to life within each and every heart of each and every listener today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be still and hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us today. Lord, I pray that you will draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that if there's one in the sound of my voice, that you would draw them unto salvation. But Lord, help us to learn lessons from your word today that will change our lives forever. Father, as your speaker for these moments, I pray that you would lift me up, that you and you alone truly would be exalted as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we take a quick look at these particular verses, he said, one of the first things he said in those verses is that you must endure hardship. I know that particularly with these guys, I'd almost like one of these days to preach a sermon like this and have these guys that you just showed honor to as a panel and be able to ask them this question. So I want you to imagine these guys that were standing up here just a little while ago, and I were to be interviewing them and said, "Let me ask you a question, guys. Did you endure hardship? You guys that were up here, how many of y'all endured some hardship along the way in your turn in the military service? Hardship some that was that you wouldn't really want to speak of. Some of you endured hardships that you certainly wouldn't want to speak of, because I can still remember, I think it was one of our dear brothers who was a soldier that went on to be with the Lord, and he said, "I endured hardship," because he said, "They made me actually guard bananas one time on a ship." He said that was his job. He said, as embarrassing as it was, the job they gave me was to guard the bananas. And he said, so what I did was I defended the bananas, and you're up here recognizing me for being a banana defender. And I'm like, you know what? You had to eat too. But nonetheless, that's one of the little hardships. That's more of a frustration. But hardships come along the way. I think about what it was like, and how I almost went into the military service. It wasn't that I didn't want them. They didn't want me. Now, don't get me wrong. I know God had other plans. I can still remember the day that I left home with that recruiter. And I don't know if they do things today like they used to do, but I rode to Beckley, West Virginia with a recruiter. And they put me in a hotel. And I thought I was big stuff. I mean, here I was a senior in high school, and I ain't never stayed in a hotel room by myself or anything. Country was coming to town. Had my own hotel room that night. I didn't even sleep that night. I thought, this is cool. I can watch TV. Mom, Dad not telling me to go to bed or anything. And then the next day, I went through that medical examination. And the way that was supposed to be, and I don't even know if it works this way now, but when I got done, they were supposed to put me on a bus and take me to boot camp, wherever that was going to be. And I still remember going through, and they said, you get to pick what you want to do. Don't believe that for a minute, right? You get to pick what you want to do. I said, I want to fly planes. And they said, pick something else. I said, what happened to you can pick what you want to do? And they said, you can, but you can't be colorblind, and you're colorblind. Pick something else. I said, don't want to do nothing else. And then I had a little bit of that indifference with me because they were like forcing me. And I'm like, well, hold on. I hadn't signed no papers yet. You don't own me yet. Well, if you don't pick something else, I can still remember the captain's name. You're going to have to talk to Captain Peck. I said, well, bring Captain Peck in here. I said, well, we spent a lot of time and effort and energy on you. I said, you put me in a Motel 6. And then the next thing that they did was put me out the door. I didn't even have a ride home. I was 20 mountain miles from my mama and daddy's house in no car. And I still remember calling Mom, hey, Mom, what's happening? Listen, could y'all do me a favor? Could y'all come over to Beckley and pick me up? Well, do you think my mom went, she's like, what? Give me the address. We'll be right there. Now, God had different plans. That's not necessarily a hardship. A hardship are for the guys who spent that time and that effort and that energy when they were in the conflicts, when they were sleeping in the foxholes with the rain coming down and the waters coming up in the mud. The guys that were freezing to death out there on the battlefield, those are hardships. The guys that didn't have a decent meal to eat, who went from day to day to day, hoping to be able to find something to sustain them for another day. Now, maybe some of our guys didn't have to go through it to that length, but each and every one of us understand hardships. And one of the things that we know is that as a good soldier, according to verse 3, you're going to have to endure hardship. What does endure mean? Last. You got to last. I see a different spirit today in America. And don't get me wrong, but we got a bunch of quitters on our hands. If things don't work out, I'll just quit. If things get tough, I just quit. And that is in every area of life. When I do premarital counseling, I tell couples this, times are going to get difficult. Don't you quit on me, and don't you quit on each other. Don't do it. Because it's going to get tough. And society has said, oh, it's all okay. We haven't had to endure in today's time like we had to in the old days. I've said it before and I'll say it again. When I was younger, people tried out for sports and not everybody made it. And you had to live with it. And it was one of those situations where, you know, Mom and Dad wouldn't coddle you in that regard. They'd say, well, you know what? Here's the deal. Then you got one of two choices. You either work hard to get better so you'll make it next year, or pick something else to do. That's your choice. And yet today we give out a trophy for everything. Oh, you participated. I saw a cartoon. I still have it somewhere, but it talked about the I'm trying to remember what the actual term with it was, but it was like the procrastinators, and it was a race. And essentially, about the time they signed up, the ribbon was right there, and they handed them a trophy. Then they crossed the finish line. That's kind of the way things go. Listen, we don't understand hardship today like we used to understand hardship. And remember, there's a parallel here. It's not just talking about the soldier. He is laying it out. Here's a soldier, and here is the Christian walk. As you follow the Lord, you're going to have to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said? If you join my army, there's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some tough times. And see, that's not what we like to preach. We like to preach, oh, everything is going to be wonderful from here on out. And it will in Christ, but that doesn't mean the hardships are going to go away. So most Christians I know have gone through some of the toughest times I've ever seen in my life. But they did so with Christ. With Christ carrying them. Most of us have seen that poem, Footprints, before, where it says, you know, when I look back in the hardest times of my life behind me, that's the time I only saw one set of footprints, and that's the time when the Lord says, those were the times that I carried you. You see, we got this idea that those footprints we see are ours and not the Lord's, and that he's abandoned us, and he hadn't. He says, you're going to have to endure hardship. When you walk with Jesus, there are going to be people who are not going to like you. There are going to be people who are going to persecute you verbally, maybe even in our society as we go further, maybe even in a different way, maybe even physically. Are you ready for that? Look at Paul. I've said so many times, if you read Paul's resume, if you were on a pulpit search committee, you wouldn't hire him. In and out of jail, rebel, but he was a rebel with a cause, wasn't he? To follow Jesus, that's what happened. Our soldiers have had to endure hard times. But then he goes on and he says something that I think is critically important in verse 4. He says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. My brother, when you were riding around in that armored vehicle, when you were out there on patrol, you're concerns for home were not right here, were they? You had to leave that. You had to go away from that. That's the reason why mamas don't like the military service, because it takes their baby away from them. Some in here have actually gone through it recently. You don't get to see them for several months when they first go in. You might get a phone call, and it might be a minute, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, whatever it may be. And why? Because the military pulls them away from the things that would be a distraction from them. And some of y'all say, well, you know what? I just don't like you calling family a distraction. Well, it is. It is. You know, when the military says, I will guarantee you guys, Don, did they tell you, when you set foot here, I own you. You're mine. First day. Probably the first thing they said. And then they looked at Kurt and said, Kurt, let me tell you something. I am your sergeant. I am your mama. I am your daddy. I am your best friend. I am everything to you starting right now. I own you. Because what you did was you made a pledge to the United States government that you were going to represent them. And they said, this is how it's going to be. This is how it is going to work. I've got you. Yeah, you can write home. You can call home. You got 3 minutes. You better say you better woo and schmoo mama, your wife, whatever it may be. You got 3 minutes to woo and schmoo. Then you're back here. They even tell you what you eat, when you eat it, how you eat it. They own you. And some of us go, I don't like that. See, that's part of the problem because, see, you know what the Lord said? The Lord says, when you enlist in my army, I own you. And the thing about it is, when it came time for the tours, and they came up and said, Kirk, look, yeah, I need you to take your guys, and I need you to go out there, and I need you to go front and secure that road out there. Kirk didn't say, you know what, I'm just not feeling it today. It's 120 degrees outside, the sun is shining, and I got a little sunburn when I was out there yesterday. I think I'm going to lay back on this one. Yeah, how do you think that would go over? Not very well. Doesn't work that way. Well, why is it that's the way it works? When we have signed up for the Lord's army and the Lord says, I've got a mission for you, and we're like, yeah, that's bad for my hands. I can't do that. Lord, you know what? I don't know. Are you getting the parallel there? You see, there's another term in the military forces that all these guys lined up here are familiar with. It is called AWOL. And that stands for Absent Without Official Leave. You know what that means? You just left. You didn't have permission to go. You just decided, I ain't doing this no more. I'm out of here. That is a criminal offense. That's one that will put you in jail. That's one that will put dishonorable on your discharge papers. They don't stand for it. Absent without leave. And you know what I think the problem is? I think that the problem with the Christian people today is that we've got a lot of God's people who are AWOL, absent without official leave. How do you fit into that? Where has God said you need to be? And I hear this all the time. I love it when somebody says, listen, being at church is a great place to learn and grow in God's grace. Are you AWOL? Well, brother, I can be just as spiritual from my couch watching it on YouTube. No, you can't, because that's not church. That's not koinonia. That's not doing life together. You can't. Argue with me all you want to. You have that right, but I'm right. Church is a bunch of people. It's not a building. Are you absent without leave? What has God called you to do? It's interesting that once you get out of boot camp as a soldier, the next thing you do is you go to school. And that school is called a what? All you soldiers got amnesia. Your MOS, right? You go to school. You actually learn a trade or whatever it is. Then they put you in service. Well, you know what church is really all about? Church is the place where you are discipled. Church is the place where you learn from the Lord so that you can do what? Exercise your job. The one God's given you, the talents, the abilities. What is your spiritual MOS? Now, if you put that into church terms, that's what are your spiritual gifts? What's God called you to do? What has He gifted you to do? What does He expect for you to do? Because whenever you get done with your MOS and whenever you graduate, guess what happens? They assign you to a job. They assign you to a position. One of our Harold boys is going to be getting ready to do that here shortly. He graduated from basic training. He's in MOS school. And when he gets out of MOS school, if I remembered it right, they said, your assignment's going to be in Germany. That's where you're going. Well, folks, when you trusted Jesus Christ and you called yourself one of His, He says, look, get in here. Let's get some schooling. And by the way, you never stop schooling. He says, but now here's the thing. Once you graduate from school, I got a job for you, got a position for you, and here's where I'm going to dispatch you. It might be missions. It might be choir. It may be a musician. It might even be a magician. Who knows? But God says, I will use it for my honor, my glory. This is what I'm giving you to use for me. And if don't you be going AWOL on me. How many church people went AWOL after COVID? The military doesn't take kindly to that. Neither does God Almighty take kindly to that. And He's like, you need to get back into service. So you can't get tangled up in the stuff that I was brought up with this expression. How many of y'all were brought up with this expression? That stuff don't amount to a hill of beans. Hallelujah, my people. You know what He says? I'm pulling you away from all that. I'm going to pull you away from all the distractions so that you can be taught and so that you can learn. You don't need to be worrying about the affairs of this world. Right now, you are a soldier. You know what happens in the Christian walk? We're too busy being caught up in the affairs of this world and we're not thinking about what's going on the other side. That's our destination. You know, the people who seem to do really, really well in life are the ones that have the eternal focus. And they don't get caught up with what's going on down here. They don't let the things that are taking place here in front of our face and in the peripherals keep them from being what God wanted them to be. And you know what the really interesting part about it is? These soldiers, you know what they said? I don't have to worry about where my meals are going to come from. because Uncle Sam's going to provide them. May not have been a buffet. You might have had to open a bag of the C rations or K rations or whatever, but it was something to eat, wasn't it? It was always there. Now, I didn't mean that there weren't times of hardship when some things went away or the supply line got cut off, but you didn't worry about that. You didn't worry about your clothes, did you? No, you looked at each other and said, you shop the same place I do. You got the same olive drab on. You got your clothes. You didn't have to worry about that. You didn't have to worry about your medical insurance. You didn't have to worry about paying a copay at the doctor's bill. They're like, I got all this. God has all this as well. And God is telling us, don't get tangled up in the affairs of the world. There's a whole lot more that's at stake. And why is it at stake? Notice what the latter part of verse 4 says. He doesn't get entangled in the affairs of the world, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You wanted to do well for your commanding officer, didn't you? I know that from the time I was a police officer. Man, I loved my commander. And I wanted to do well because if I did well, it reflected well on him. If I did well, he didn't have to call me down on the carpet. I wanted to perform well for him. You know what the Lord says? You should want to perform well for me because I am your father. I am the one who takes care of you. I am the one who provides for you. I am the one that you gave your life to when you signed up for this army. And I've always loved the parallels. You've heard me say it year after year after year that the old vacation Bible school days when you had the general assemblies and remember the old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. Soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, all these things. Onward. Yeah, we even had the motions to it and everything. It is a war, folks. It is a battle. And as a believer, you have signed up for that. What kind of soldier are you today? Are you the one that that your commander in chief, the Lord's going, Roy, and he's like, where's he? He just couldn't find time today. He was just feeling bad. Man, he had some bad chipped beef or something. Listen, God knows what's going on in your life. He knows where you are in your heart. Are you AWOL, absent without official leave? Don't get caught up in the affairs of the world. Verse 5, also if anyone competes in athletics. Remember I told you there was that parallel there. There's actually three parallels. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You mean there are rules? Yes, there are rules. I mean, you even ask these guys, are there rules of war? Yes, there are even rules of war. Ask any officer, and you know what they're going to tell you? There are rules. There are rules in the police department. There are rules in the military. There are rules everywhere you go, including the Christian life. There are rules. Do you play by the rules? How many of y'all have ever played a game with somebody who cheats? How many of you all played a game with somebody who cheats a lot? How many of you played a game with somebody who cheats a lot and they don't care whether you know? Now, here's the question. How many of you has that frustrated? Doesn't that frustrate you? And you're like, no, 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 you're not playing by the rules. Because see, when they didn't play by the rules, it gave them an unfair advantage. Nobody cheats for somebody else to win. Everybody always cheats for them to win. You're like, no, 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 no. You can't bring your own deck of cards and leave them down there and pick which ones you want. That's messing the game up. You got to play by the rules. The same holds forth in a spiritual walk. There are rules. You see, God didn't call them, and you've seen this before, God didn't call them the 10 suggestions. What did he call them? The 10 commandments. God didn't say, it's a good idea for you to just forgive your brother. God said, you will forgive your brother. God didn't say that, you know what, I know you've had a tough life. You don't have to love other people. You can just go off in the corner, honey, and it'll be okay. That's what life is telling people today. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, you love your brother as yourself. Remember what he said to command. The first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is what? To love your neighbor as yourself. Well, dude, you, that ought to be a real interesting view because a lot of us really love ourselves. Are you loving your neighbor the same way you love yourself? They're rules. That's what the Lord said. Here are the rules. And you know what the problem is? Most Christians don't know the rules. Those that have walked for a long, long time have never read the rule book. Guys, confession time. Your wife just brought home for you a 97,000-piece desk. And she wants it put together by nightfall. You open the box and you dump it out. You find the directions, and what do you do with them? Remember I said confession's good for the soul? Let me tell you what you do with them. You go, I can't see them anyway. Now let me tell you, but here's what you do. You set the box up over here. You know why? Because the box has what on the front of it? A picture. That's good enough. There's a picture. I'll follow the picture. You know what the problem with that is? See, people are living their Christian life the same way. They think that church is a picture of what Christians should look like. You know what part of the problem is? Most Christians in church aren't looking what Christians ought to look like. But that's the model. And you diligently put it together. And then it's either wobbly, unstable, or here's the good one. You have a bag of parts left over. Well, let me tell you something. No, you justify it. Well, those are extras. They give you extra screws in case you lose one. No, they're not. They don't give you extra nothing anymore. In fact, if you have all the parts, you're doing good. Amen? Most of the time, you don't even have all the stuff you need. But the problem is, you got a bag of extra parts. And then what you do is you go, yeah, it seems stable enough to me. You haven't followed the rules. You haven't followed the instructions. And Christian, let me tell you something. God gives us instructions. I've gotten better at that. Better in some ways and worse in others. Better because now I will look at the instructions. Worse because I can't see them anymore. You know how it goes. And I still wind up having parts left over. You know, part of the problem with that, too, is that when you put that together, you'll find out after you get halfway there that you got some of the parts in the wrong place. You've used some of the wrong screws in the wrong holes, and now you don't have the tiny screws because you used them down here, and you were supposed to use the bigger screws here and the tiny ones there. Well, you know how you'd have fixed that? Read the directions. Christian, when your life seems like it's in the vortex of the toilet, read the directions. I promise it's all here. And here's the one thing I can guarantee you. Unlike directions you get with that desk or table that mama brought home, these are 100% correct. All of the parts are there. Sometimes it's so simple. I've had those discussions with people before. Why do I have such financial difficulty? I said, well, how are you managing your money for the Lord? Well, let's don't talk about that preacher. Don't go getting in my bank book or my liquor cabinet. Well, hey, you asked. You're in his army. This is what he said. Listen, if God can't trust you with what he's given you, why should he ever give you anything more? You know, if you gave your kid $100 a week, your three-year-old kid $100 a week for an allowance, and all he ever did was stockpile candy, and you pay the dental bills and the insulin bills and everything else, you think there might be a point in a time where Junior needs to learn a lesson? Think there might be a point in time where Junior needs to be cut off? Junior might need to have a little bit of intervention there in his life? See, God's the same way. And we sit back and go, Lord, I want you to bless me here. And God's like, you can't even take care of what you got over here. Why should I do that? Here's an idea. Show me how faithful you can be with what I've given you. Then I'll expand your territory. We do the same thing. It's funny. I've talked to people before and they're like, there's no way I would do that. There's no way I would allow this or I would allow that. You're not ready for this. You're not ready for that. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been that supervisor before that's had to tell somebody, you're not ready for this yet. And they got mad at you. But you knew they weren't ready for it. And then sometimes somebody went behind your back and promoted that person, and they failed horribly, didn't they? At some points, it can even be life or death. I saw that with a guy on a police motorcycle team. He wasn't ready. And the guy that was working with him said, he's not ready. Commander, he is not ready for this position. Oh, you just don't like him. No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with his ability. He's not ready. He needs more time. He can be ready, but he needs more time. He needs more training. Ah, don't worry about him. Just put the guy on out there. His first time out, wrecked his motorcycle, broke his shoulder. And then the guy who was sitting back going, you're not ready, was like, you're in the Lord's army. Whether you, if you trusted Jesus, you signed up. There are expectations. You need to be there. You need to be present. You need to be serving. You need to be operating in your MOS. And oh, by the way, let me close out by saying this. This is an individual statement. When you guys stood up and raised your right hand, there was other people that were there, but they weren't answering for them. You are answering for you. Often, you're standing alone when you're called upon to endure the hardness that takes place. You're standing alone. There's a physical and a mental toughness that's necessary for a good soldier. Yeah, there have been a lot of people in my life I've known that were physically fit, but they weren't mentally fit. And I will tell you this. I would rather be physically tired than mentally tired any day of the week. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? See, physically tired, you can get a good night's sleep or take a nap and feel a whole lot better. But when you're mentally tired, that takes something away from you. It's hard. You got to be tough. You have to be that tough person. I don't say you need to be a hard person, but you have to be that tough person. See, the Lord sees your strengths, both mental and physical. And when it comes down to the enemy sees them too. Hardness is just a plain fact of life. Nobody is going to stand by you. When God says you're going to answer for the things you've done, you better be careful about what you let other people talk you into or out of. See, because what happens is someday my name's going to be called. And I'm going to step up and I am going to look the Father in the eye and I will answer for everything I've done on this earth. I will answer for my conversations. I will answer for my counseling. I will answer for my leadership. Nobody's going to be standing to my left or to my right. Nobody's going to say, you know, Lord, I told him he should do this. God's going to go, well, yeah, but who's responsible? You are. I still remember as a police officer, there was times that you'd find something in a car. I don't have to get into it. Well, that ain't mine. Well, that ain't mine. Well, I just took that out of your pants. Well, these ain't my pants. God, serious. You wearing somebody else's pants? Uh-huh. Well, here's the way it works. If you find it in the car, guess who winds up owning it? They have a few little split hairs, but I'll tell you this, the guy driving the car is the one that's responsible. Now, there are times in my life that I believe that the driver didn't know anything about it, but all of them threw him under the bus, and guess who took the rap for it? I'm like, it's the way the law's written. It's the guy sitting there going, Harvey, you gonna let him take me to jail over your stuff? I knew it was Harvey's, because Harvey's like, oh man, what are you talking about? Like, listen, unless Harvey owns it, you're going to jail for it. Oh, Harvey, you just getting ready to screw up my life, my career, and everything else. And Harvey's like, I'm sorry, brother. I don't care. You are responsible to the Lord for what you do. As you stand before him, let me ask you this question. Would you do so being able to say, Lord, I did my best. I did what I felt was right all the way across the board. That doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. But I will tell you this. If you have listened to the Lord and you have followed him, you're going to be okay. And by the way, it doesn't always go out the way that everybody thinks it's going to. Remember the 12 spies? 10 of them came back and said, two of them said, and there's a consequence for either way. There are so many things we could get into. A soldier avails himself to more training. When you're in that type of a position, you train and you train and you train and you train and you train. I kept thinking, does school ever end? The answer to that is no, it does not. You train and you train and you train. Listen, as a Christian, does school ever end? Not until you draw your last breath. You train and you train and you train and you train. And let me tell you something. This is a training ground. That's what the church is. Listen, that's what Awana is for kids, a training ground. That's what church is here today. It's not my job to go out and win everybody to Jesus. It's my job to teach you how to do that. Do you get that? For perfecting the saints. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have to go win people to Jesus. I do as well. But I'm supposed to be teaching you how to become what it is that God wants you to. And by the way, that's called discipleship. Growing in him. Growing in his grace. Are we hungry for that? Or are we like, well, brother, listen, I'm going to give you an hour on Sunday. And you better entertain me. And don't ask me to do anything. That's like rolling up into boot camp going, look, man, I got to be in bed by 10 o'clock because I got to get my beauty sleep. And I ain't wearing them haircuts like that. I got these curly locks, and you ain't cutting them off. Yeah, right. You in the wrong place. It is time that God's people got serious about following him because you signed up. You're not out of the woods yet. The Lord's been patient. The Lord's been kind. But he's saying, I always like this one. I always hated this part, actually. Yeah, when your commander goes, come on in and shut the door. The shut the door part. If he said, come here a minute, and he didn't say shut the door, you knew you were okay. But if it was followed by, come on in, shut the door for a minute. I was like, uh-oh. What am I on the carpet for? You know what God's saying to some of us today? Come on in here and shut the door. We need to talk about your enlistment here. We need to talk about your MOS. We need to talk about your assignment. And oh, by the way, I'm done talking because you've got your orders. When you got orders, they were written, weren't they? God's got it written out. Here are your orders. Some of God's saying, I gave you these orders decades ago. How come you hadn't fulfilled them? And he's going to expect an answer, and you're not going to be able to shine him. The good soldier of the cross. Today, we honor the good soldiers of America, but today also we honor the soldiers of the cross. Have you enlisted? Have you signed up? Some of you guys up here, you probably didn't sign up. You got signed up. Remember that thing called the draft? Some of y'all didn't have a choice. Your number's up, here's where you're going. Some of you said, you know what? If I'm getting ready to get drafted, so I'd rather pick my own branch of service. Yeah, I'd rather float around with the Coast Guard than swing through the jungle with the Army and the Marines. Yeah, so that's why some of them said, I know it's coming, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. Some have volunteered because they wanted to protect this country. I said there was an influx after 9/11 of those who joined the military because they said, you know what? We need to protect our nation. I said yesterday, I told them when I went out there were tons of people over at the park, and I saw moms and dads and little kids had little picnics going on. They had soccer games going on. They were enjoying life with one another. And then I remember what it was like being in Cuba. You don't see that because they don't have it. You know why? They don't have soccer balls. That's a big deal. They don't have concession stands. They don't have nice fields. They don't have places that they can go. And I thought to myself, we get to do what we do because of these men that stood right up here before us today. Guys, I thank you and I love you, each and every one of you, for what either you did or what you were willing to do to protect our freedoms. You will forever be a hero in my heart and a hero to Central Baptist Church. I mean that with all my heart. So I'm going to ask you this. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to take our places as we begin our time of invitation. But here's the big question. The big question is, have you signed up in the Lord's army? Because here's something I can promise you as well. Pretty soon the bus is leaving the depot. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Pretty soon the bus is going to drive off with those who have signed up. It's only taking those who have signed up, and they're going to a destination. Well, the same thing holds true in the Christian life. The Lord is going to call His children out of here. It could be any day. It could be any moment. The question is, are you ready? When that trumpet sounds, I'm gone. When that heart beats its last, I'm gone. And I'm going to a better place. Don't you be crying for me. Some of y'all be crying tears of joy. He's gone. We can move on now. Hey, I'm living forever, and so are you. The only question is, what's the location, location, location? It's nicer over there. That's what we're heading for. We don't get tangled up in the mess of this world that keeps us second-guessing God. He's knocked on your heart's door. He said, look, here's the deal. He's the recruiter. Jesus said, I died on a cross for you. Will you receive me? You got a choice to make. Have you made that choice? Have you received Christ? Listen, if not, stop what you're doing where you are. If the Lord is calling in your heart right now, you can simply just ask Him. You cry out in prayer. Like the little Russian girl said, I know God's going to hear my prayer, particularly when you sit back and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Save my soul. Boom. He will. You just signed up. But now you need to ship out. You need to get to your MOS. You need to get through basic training. Discipleship. You need to go to your MOS school. Discipleship. And you need to get on with the mission. Cuba, Wyoming, across town, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are. There's all these phases. Some of y'all are professional students. Here's where the rubber meets the road. I love those that I call just spiritual free wills. Jim, we're leaving for Florida. We got to get the feeding unit down there. Jim's like, okay, boss, let's go. Hey, we've got this mission trip coming up. Who wants to sign up? We've got people signing up. Let's go. And it's so ironic. I could sit back and say, look, man, we need to dig a 40-foot hole, 6 foot in diameter. Jeff Willard's going to sign up for that job. Don't tell me. He'll sign up for that. Give me a shovel and a pick and get out of my way. And you know what I do? Help yourself. Because here's the fun part. There might be a 40-foot hole that needs to be dug, but there's also a church that needs to be preached at. And you know what happens when they say, oh, listen, we need to go. We're going to go to this church. Yeah, anybody want to preach? I'm like, ooh, 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 pick me, pick me. And when they say, we got a 40-foot hole that needs to be dug, I go, ooh, ooh, pick him, pick him. God brings us together with different talents and abilities. Have you trusted Jesus? Are you following him? Are you absent without official leave? Fix it all today, whatever you need. If you've trusted Christ, please let us know. We'll get you on that path of discipleship. And it's not weird, I promise you. I don't do weird. I'm old enough that I don't care anymore. I don't do weird. If it's weird, I ain't doing it. If it's not fun, you're not doing it right. Okay? So, where are you? Have you trusted Christ? Do you need introduced to the manual? We'll help you with that. We'll walk it with you. Maybe you just need to hand some things to the Lord and say, Lord, I am the Gomer Pyle of your service. Gomer had a lot of really good qualities, didn't he? You know what God says? You got a lot of really good qualities. I could go on back. Hey, with this crowd, I could go back to McHale's Navy. See, y'all are laughing. If you didn't know what I was talking about, you'd have been going. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, the Lord says, here's your chance. Let's do it right. Let's start over, and let's make this good. What do you need to do? I'm going to simply ask that you do business with God, what he's led in your heart. Respond to him. If you need to alter, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. As we stand together, as we sing our invitation hymn, number 277, Take My Life and Let It Be. Would you stand? Hands are bowed, your eyes are closed. You know what God's called you to do. Do it now. You'll never regret it, I promise you. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, once again, you give us this opportunity to worship you by being faithful to the tithe and the offering. Lord, what a privilege we have to be able to do that. I ask right now that you would help us. Lord, even through the tough times, I pray that you will help us to be faithful, that we will take the test that you say in your word, dare me. I dare you to try me out on this. And Lord, you will take care of us. You want to bless us. May we be able to experience that blessing because we've been faithful to give. May you bless the gift and the giver as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Y'all recognize that? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Man, that's great. Let me get you this because I know I've kept you a little bit late today, but love honoring our veterans. Here's what we've got on the slate for this week. Birthdays. Jeff's bride, Jennifer, got a birthday coming up on Tuesday. Wednesday, Alex Gwynn, little Alex. If you know her, be sure to wish her a happy birthday. This coming Friday, the twins. They still share kind of the same last name, but that's Don and Doris's girls, Erica and Aaron. But Aaron added a little other name to the end of hers. So she's Aaron Sykes and Erica Wright. They have birthdays that are coming up this Friday. Be sure to let folks know how much you love them and appreciate them, and that as they have this opportunity to have another turn around the sun, that we certainly do appreciate them. Let me give you a couple things that we've got going on. As far as our Sunday events, my D-Life group will meet at 3:30 in the conference room, multipurpose building. Awana starts at its normal time, 5:30 to 7 tonight. Meet over in the gym. Choir practice, 4:45 on for this evening. Bible study right in here tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Band practice. Y'all practicing tonight? Okay, 7 o'clock or immediately after David gets finished with the Bible study. The band will practice right here in the sanctuary. Monday, if you're part of Steve Kelly's D-Life group, they will meet at 6:30 in the conference room of the multipurpose building. Wednesday, every Wednesday, 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic in Colfax. It's just a men's gathering. There's no agenda. It's just a good old time of fellowship and good food. Every Wednesday at 10 a.m., if you want to be a part of that, just show up. You don't have to be 80 years old. You can, but you don't have to be. If you can, if you got Wednesday at 10 o'clock off, go by. They'll accept you, right, Bill? We know how to eat. There's food, so we've got that going. Operation Christmas Child, our first in-gathering for the church was today. We will do this again next week. Pack your boxes, plan to bring them next week. And then also the drop-off starts on November the 13th. That's when people will be coming by for the regional drop-off. If you signed up to help with that, Jana needs you just for a minute to fill out a form. If you're going to be working with Operation Christmas Child as a volunteer, she needs to meet you in the choir room in the multi-purpose building as soon as we get done here. It's just that she's got to get some information. She's got to get your name, address, and all that stuff on a form. So very quickly, if you could stop over there. If you don't know where the choir room in the next building is, it's right across from the kitchen, and every Baptist knows where the kitchen is. Right across the hall, that's the choir room over there. If she'll need to see you very quickly just to get that information right after we dismiss here. Bi-monthly blood drive coming up this Tuesday from 2:30 to 7. If you can donate a pint, we'd love to have you come by. And then also, very important, the March, our Cuba mission trip for 2024 is March 1 through 8. But there is a deadline. The deadline to have all your information in is the 19th of this month. It's actually kind of like this coming week. So if the Lord has led you, it's time to stop waffling. I need to get you in the system because it takes 3 months to get visas, and the Cuban government shuts down for the whole month of December. So we need to get your paperwork done ASAP. We do have, I think, 4 or 5 signed up right now to go. Once again, we ask our missionaries to raise their support to go outside of the church, and then what we collect through the church goes specifically for the ministries that that we're involved in over there, and you guys have done a phenomenal job. We will probably be taking that offering the month of February. We usually do it 4 weeks before time for us to leave. We'll be gone the first week of March, so probably in February we'll be taking money that will be specifically earmarked for Cuba. That pays the annual salary of the Awana missionary over there. It bought food for 6 weeks for about 100 kids every day at Duke Road Church. There are just so many things that what you've done here, he's gonna let you know about it when you get there. So that's fantastic. Also, final and very important thing. I am announcing a called conference for next Sunday. We need to have a called conference. It'll be right after next Sunday morning's message. It will be in regard to a motion that will be coming from the nominating committee to fill a vacancy on our board of directors. So David, which is our moderator, will call us into church conference right after the Sunday service next week, and then he will present the motion from the nominating team. We'll have a quick vote, and then we promise we'll get you to lunch. But that's to actually fill a vacancy on our board of directors. So according to our bylaws, this is our one-week notification for that. Have I covered everything right? Robert's Rules of Order. Okay. Also, as you see behind me, Veterans Day is a holiday. Church office will be closed on Monday for Veterans Day. But the thing about it is, you know, people sit back and go, well, Friday was Veterans Day. Well, we're already off on Friday. So, Saturday. Friday, Saturday. It's recognized. We recognize them all the time. Anyway, if you need us, you still, everybody knows how to get a hold of us. You can either call us or text us or whatever. And more than likely, one of us will probably still be around here on Monday anyway. So, officially, the church office is closed on Monday. So, with that, we look forward to seeing you here for the rest of the day and the events that we've got going on. Thank you for giving me that little extra time this morning just to say how much we appreciate our veterans. Would you stand with me as we dismiss in a word of prayer? Father, as we come to you now, we're thankful and we're grateful that you can allow us to come together. And Lord, I am so, so thankful for the fact that we do it in freedom. Lord, freedom rings so loud in our ears, and I pray that we will never take it for granted. Lord, I pray that we'll never have to lose it to appreciate what we have. Help us, Father, to follow you. Help us to understand the sense of freedom that comes only through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be about your mission. May we not be absent without leave. May we truly be good soldiers of the cross. Father, as we go away from here, help us to be always mindful that just as a word of thanks to those who have served our country often goes a long way. So, Lord, help us to be agents that will bring about happiness and encouragement to each and every one. As, Lord, as we go away from this place, help us to look for the divine appointments that you have for us this week, the people we'll talk to and what we'll do, places we go, people we'll see. May we reflect you in a positive way. As, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you shortly.